Is that it? Can you hear me now? I can't hear me. It's not on. There you go. That's on. I heard that. Okay. All right. Have you ever heard me say, let somebody know that you missed them Sunday, but if you're going to open your mouth and start meddling or you're going to be negative, I pray that God put some holy duct tape on your mouth. You ever heard me say that? That's because sometimes, remember a couple of things. You communicate 24/7. You communicate 24/7. You communicate not only with your mouth, you communicate with your actions, you communicate with your body language. You communicate by not communicating. Okay? So some people, it's better, some of their best communications when they haven't said anything. Okay? Really, it is. So again, here it is. God has so much force of experience in his life. He's provided a way in every situation. And I'm just going to go in there about bleeding. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought I had one right down there for you. Here, I'll tell you what. You be the keeper in case somebody else. I'm expecting 100. Only made 33, but in case there's 100, we can make some more. That's a limited supply, but we can have another limited supply. People bleed to death emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. We need to find what God says about it, apply it, and stop the bleeding. So, communication, real quick. I mean, I've only got one little thing up here, and then we go right straight into the night. Have you ever paused to evaluate the impact of how you communicate? Your words had the potential of bringing life or death to the heart of another. Your words, along with underlying attitudes, strengthen them in the Lord, stop the bleeding, or weaken their faith, cause bleeding. You know, I can sit there and there's bad things going on. Somebody, the doctors come in and give a bad report. A lot of times we'll be sitting there and the doctor gives a bad report and I'm in there with them and all of a sudden I'll hear some bad things. My sister one time, the doctor told my mama, said, it's not looking good and it's really looking, matter of fact, it's looking kind of rough and we don't know what we're going to be able to do. My sister told my mama about 4 years before she died, said, if you want to go, it's okay, mama. We can make it. And I said, sis, do me a favor. Be quiet. And then I remember one time mama's defibrillator went off 28 times in one day. They had her in intensive care because it wouldn't quit going off. It just went boom, boom, boom. And find out part of it was because her potassium was low. And there was something else. But I went in there in intensive care ward. She was laying there quiet with her eyes closed. And my brother and my sister said, you know, mama's probably going to die from this. And I said, can I ask y'all to do me a favor? So I said, step outside. And they said, well, I said, because mama can hear everything you're saying. They said, she's unconscious. I said, watch this. And I walked over to mama, and I said, it's not your time yet. And she went, I know. So, mama was sitting there hearing everything they had to say, all this negative, all this about her dying, but she didn't respond until somebody came along with some positive. So, again, you got to be careful how you talk to people. And this is what this one's about, negative, 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 negative. Characteristic of negative communication, every person must plead guilty, every person must plead guilty of some violation of God's ideal for communicating. Without thinking, we attempt to meet our inner needs by speaking or responding in ways that intimidate or destroy. You know, there's been times where honestly, I have to be honest about it. Especially some little punk kid. There was a punk kid that already said, Bethany, stay away from him. I don't want him around here. And he called. And so I said, is that boy that sounds like a girl? Intimidating. He said, yes, sir. And I said, tell him, this is no joke. I said, tell him I have a shovel and a shotgun and a big backyard. Nobody ever miss him, and I'm not afraid to go back to prison. And he clicked. The phone went click. And a few months later, he had moved away. A few months later, we were in the emergency room with Linda's dad, and here he comes in. He sees me. And Bethany goes, well, there he is. Said he was moved away. And I said, he should have stayed away. He walked outside, and I felt bad because he walked outside, and it was raining and kind of snowing a little bit. Raining, he stayed outside, wouldn't come in while I was there. I said I felt kind of bad. I mean, that close. That close. Okay? But I'm just trying to say is, though, we know when we're saying things. Not all the time. We know a lot of times when we're saying things that, you know, how many's ever said this? If I give them too many kudos, they'll quit working hard. Nobody's ever said that? How many's felt that? Or if I encourage them too much, they won't be around. They'll go somewhere else. You know what we're doing? We're being God. I'm guilty. I'm not up here going, I'm up here going, okay? I like that when I was watching modern day shows shown around the world, and when I saw the Fonz, he went, and in France, he went, wee wee. Okay, so here we go. Yeah, but no. So, every person must plead guilty to some violation of God's ideal for communicating without thinking. We intend to meet inner needs, usually our inner needs, listen carefully, our inner needs, by speaking and responding in ways that intimidate or destroy. The following words or ways are verbal, nonverbal, negative communication habits that serve only to wound others, and you can say keep them back. Okay? So, here they are. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4. There's only 5 of them. But y'all can stay here as long as you want. We'll figure this out. Number 1, degrading words. The Bible says that reckless... hold on, let me change this thing. Let me go. I want to read one more thing before I jump into that. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. All right? That's 6... That's Proverbs 6:16-23. Okay. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Did y'all hear that? A wise man's heart is up here at the top. A wise man's heart. I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says, the mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. Wow. So, a person that usually is hurting people, if they're doing it unconsciously, because they're not being led by a wise heart, they're being led by a thick skull. I've done it. And or because I'm hurt. Here's what it is. I'm hurt, and so because I'm hurt, I don't want you to succeed, or because I'm hurt, I want you to know you hurt me, or because I'm hurt, I'm going to hurt you more with my words. Well, I'm a good Christian. I'm not going to go up there and pop you. I'm not going to go up there and hurt you. I'm just going to let my mouth do the talking. My mouth do the talking. So, yeah. That's right. So, degrading words. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Here it is. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Wow, that's so powerful. Rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise. Rash language cuts and maims. I remember seeing a cartoon one time. I remember Mama would always say, son, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And I remember one time I got an opening experience. I think it was at work. They put it up on the wall, a cartoon. And I can't remember who the cartoon was, but it said, sticks and stones will break you. There was somebody talked bad to this kid. And then he said, well, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And he walks away, but he's gone down. His demeanor's changed, and all he can do is hear those words that were said. So So you can say sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But let somebody say something bad to you. You may digest it for 5 minutes. You may digest it for 5 hours. You may digest it for 5 days. You may digest it for 5 years. It does. So degrading words, examples. And I put the examples here so you can show you what I'm talking about. Thoughtless, insensitive, teasing, critical, coarse, tactless. Anybody know what tactless is? Somebody tell me what tactless is. Well, I know that. I mean, thank you. You put it out there bluntly, and sometimes my dad, I love what my dad does. I don't love the way he does it. I'm just saying it. Sometimes we say we love that. Doesn't mean we love it. It means we actually don't like it at all. Yeah. Thank you. Sarcastic words. Thank you. That's right. So, dad'll say, I'm just telling them like it is. And I'll tell my dad, no. I said, you don't like people telling you like it is. I said, and let me just tell you a little something about telling it like it is. No, there's always three truths in every situation. My truth, like it is. Your truth, like it is. And God's truth, like it really is. And if the truth be known, both of us have messed up and both of us have some fault in it. Some might have more fault than other, but we've all still got it there. Okay. Critical, coarse, tactless, indelicate expressions, inappropriate words. I was watching MASH last night, and it was a very powerful one because, you know, I don't really like Winchester. Winchester's a big stuffed shirt. But there was this young man that was in there, and they'd operated on him. He was trying to, I think he was calling out coordinates, or he was doing something, but because of him, some guys had got hurt, along with himself. And so the captain came up and started talking to the guy, and he said, you're just some big dummy. You know that. You got these guys hurt. And the guy tried to talk, and he couldn't because he was stuttering. He said, I tried. And went on and on. And he said, no, you're just a big old dummy. Can't even talk. And Winchester came up and said, that'll be enough of that, captain. And the captain said, well, it's my man. He says, well, I'm a major or something like that. He says, now stop it now. That's an order. And then Winchester kept going to the guy and trying to help him out. The guy was reading comic books. And so he came to him, carried him in the room, said, I'm going to do an x-ray on you. Carries him in the room and says, there's no x-ray machine in here. He says, no, I just want to talk to you without everybody around us. He said, I know you like comic books, but he said, have you ever thought about, he said, I'm just a dummy. He says, you're not a dummy. I looked up your records. You got a high IQ. He said, if you thought about reading something like this, and he took an edition of Moby Dick and gave to him. He said, but this is leather bound. I can't take this book. He says, please, it'll be an honor for you to take it. He said, and then he said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. And he said, don't everybody tell us, might tell you you're a dummy. He said, just because you can't get it out doesn't mean it ain't in there or something like that. And then as the show goes on, Winchester goes back to his tent and listens to a tape that was sent from his sister. And she goes, oh, hey, Charles, it's been a good day. She said, I went to the opera. And see, it was near to his heart because he had a sister who studied. You know, and so again, the captain was very, very mean. I don't know how Winchester just go ahead and take something and stab him with a scalpel. You know, but again, indelicate expressions, inappropriate words. You know, sometimes without even thinking, we say some of the stupidest mess. I remember one time I did something that was so bad, and I made sure, I learned a very valuable lesson. My mother-in-law was going deaf, and she'd have to express, my father-in-law would be playing the TV real loud, and she'd be trying to say, what'd you say? And I would tell her, and she said, what'd you say? And I would tell her, and she said, what'd you say? And I had to tell her two or three times. And so one day, she said, again, like four times, what'd you say? And I went. And she started crying. It tore her up. And I felt so bad. I went and hugged her, and I said, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to hurt you. I said, I was just aggravated. And I said, that was very thoughtless. Will you please forgive me? She said, yes, I will. But then she got me back because her stethoscope, she was in nursing school. Her stethoscope was an amplified stethoscope. And so I go in the bedroom, and I'm an EMT, and I'm trying to say, my heart was going real fast. I was trying to slow my heart down. And she had one of her books, How to Slow Your Heart Down. And so I'm reading How to Slow Your Heart Down. So I go in there and shut the door because DC and Daniel were little. They were aggravating me. And man, were they aggravating me. DC and Daniel's little. They're all hollering. The TV's on 900. You know. So I go in the room and I shut the door and I get her stethoscope out and I put it on. And I read the book, How to Do It. And so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting to slow down. It went boom, 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 boom. And I got it going, boom, 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 boom. I said, there you go. Boom, boom. And then it went, boom. And I said, I made it slow down too much. I'm dead. I really thought I was dead. And I said, oh, no, what am I going to do now? Grandpa's stethoscope had an automatic off button on. And the Lord got me back because it went off just at the precise time I was trying to slow my heart down. It was awesome. Now it is. Back then it weren't because it scared me. When I finally got it working again, my heart was going boom, 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 boom. Okay. Examples. Surely you don't believe that. Or he's very sensual and sexy. You know what? That can offend somebody. Okay? I mean, you got a couple of guys standing around going, well, she's nice looking. But you know what? You go up to somebody, especially go up to them, and say, you are so sensual. Number one, now it's called sexual harassment. But guys raised in the 80s, to them, it's not the same as the millennials. So, again, that's why I put this in here. That's inappropriate. And it hurts people's feelings. You say it to your wife, sure. But I'm not going to say it to any other woman. For two reasons. One, I don't believe in it. Number two, I want to live. That's a good answer. I remember what Linda told me. She's Italian. She told me we got married. She says, I got a cure for adultery. I said, what? She said, murder. Okay. Any thought on degrading words? Any thoughts? I mean, have you ever been degraded? To what? Yes, from this group. And Lord knows y'all love to talk. Look. That's right. That's right. You know, I remember there was a lady who really helped out a lot. I just thought of her. We even called her grandmama. She really helped out a lot. And when my grandmama died, she was there. And she was just something. And I was living in Pamlico County. And they come and stayed with us for a week. But they brought their camper. Or they're in Winnebago, and they actually parked in the yard, and they stayed in that. And not in the house, but in that, when they stayed over with us and did everything with us, and we'd go over there at night and go to sleep. And one day while we were there, I was working in the Oriental. This far, started working at a TV shop in Alliance. And I said something about, all right, fellas, I got a little while. Let's go swimming. And that's all I said to my brother, let's go swimming. And they said, Well, we got things we got to do. I said, neither one of you got a job. I do. I'm trying to work around my job. I said, so let's go ahead and go now. And she just spoke right up with a very tactless, coarse, critical, insensitive, inappropriate response. And she said, I really pity the woman that marries you. And I said, why? She said, because you're so stuck in your ways. And that should not have offended me. But I was 17, and it offended me. And it took me years before, honestly, even today, she's 90-something years old. When I see her, I walk to her, I hug her neck, and I speak to her. And I still have to remind myself every time I see her that she is known for saying things like that. You just let it roll off your back. If she says something like again, just let it roll off your back. I have to remind myself that. But see, I'm not going to play this little game where I'm not going to talk to her and I'm going to hide from her and all that. No. I just know that I prepare myself that she says something like that again, I'm just going to let it roll off my back. So, why now? Yeah, and so I look out for that. I think about that. And there's people even now that I love dearly. There's people in my family I love dearly, but they can say things that can hurt you, pierce your heart. And I said, remember the source. And if I can remember the source, I'll be okay. I got to remember the source. Because especially if you get around a lot of people, if you get around a lot of people like I am all the time, the chances of you being hurt by somebody's language is going to be happening all the time. You know, and like, let's just say, for instance, and I'm not saying poor pitiful me at all, not a bit. This has got nothing. I'm not throwing this out there because I'm going, oh, help me. But every day I have to judge, do I call this person, I go see this person, blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, this person really needs a visit. This one's got a cat in the tree. This one here has got an amputation, spiritually speaking. So which one do I go to? And I can go to the one with the amputation and one with the cat in the tree, get mad and say something. You didn't come see me. Well, he heard I was sick. He didn't do it. Yeah, I did. I called you. But I go see you? Maybe not, but I called you because I need to go over here, take care of this one. And I've been sitting there before, and I go in to see somebody, and I go, I'll just find out they're sick. Just find out. And I go, well, it's about time you come. And I'm not talking about you. No. Yeah, she did do that to me, though. She did. I'm going to tell you what she did now that she brought that up. But that's fine. She told me that she was going to, as soon as she finds out, she's going to have this surgery. Well, her surgery is actually in a couple of weeks, but she had to have a pre-surgery to find out a exploratory surgery. So I'm coming from someplace. And I'm stopping at the house, getting ready to go to New Bern to go to nursing home. And I get a call from Barbara. And she said, did you know that Norma's getting surgery now? I said, no, I didn't. She says, you might want to talk to her sister. So I text Augusta. She says, yeah, we're getting ready to go in 15 minutes. And I said, well, I can't get there in 15 minutes. And so, but I also knew from my experience, it wasn't going to be 15 minutes. It'd be an hour or more. And so it was funny because it was so funny because when I got there, I couldn't find you. And when I finally got there, it was still hours before they took her. And then hours. And then she loved that sleep so much, she wouldn't wake up. She liked, you love that recovery room. Yeah. And so it was funny, you know. And I had a great time talking with Augusta. And I had a great time being there with you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are flat out say things like, you know, and then somebody might not know, well, you know what? I actually was with somebody else last night who needed counseling. I'm talking about people we know, not somebody off the street. People we know. I've been counseling them at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. I get up at 6, and I'm doing some homework, and I go take care of my mother-in-law. Come on back. I get over here, and I've driven 300 miles in 2 days easily. I do 150 miles a day many times, and 1,000 miles a week, sometimes 1,500. And so I'm getting over there. If I could have a beam-me-up Scotty thing, that'd be awesome. But we ain't got one yet. Yeah, well, we ain't got one of those yet. And so, yeah, Scotty retired. That's right. Captain Kirk got killed. Not in real life. I mean, on Generations, he got killed. And so, last thing he said before he died was, it was fun. It's been fun. Y'all remember that? Then he dies. Okay, and then Captain Picard takes over. All right. So, okay. So, anyway, about it. You know, I'm thinking, or I've gone to the emergency room because somebody was taking everything because their blood pressure was whatever, and I just took mine without even knowing about them. I just took mine, and mine was 20 points higher. I had the emergency room praying for them, and I got to hear them say something negative. You know, so what I've learned is over the years is I just let it roll off my back. My favorite one to hear is, oh, you only work 3 hours a week. Here, Bethany? Yeah. It's just 3 hours a week. You want to see DC and Daniel get mad? I'm talking about want to take you outside, drag you outside, and bite you. Say I only work 3 hours a week. Okay. Now, what I was going to say is, though, I'm just trying to say is, and see, all of us have these things. You know, I can tell a young lady that works many, 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 many hours, and people don't even know it. She's in here right now, and she's sitting on the back row. I'm not going to mention her name, but her initials are Jeannie Bonner. Okay, she is old lady, but I was trying to make her feel better. See, I wasn't going to be degrading, but the point I was trying to make is, you know, nobody knows what you're doing, and so they might get upset and think, well, you're not working as hard as they are. You don't have it as bad as they got it. I hear them go, you know, matter of fact, you won't ever hear me say this unless I'm cutting up with you. If I'm cutting up with you, you might hear it. You'll never hear me say, you don't know nothing. I had a clerk one time. That was her way she ministered to people. Well, I just had my finger cut off. You don't know nothing. I lost 2 fingers. Well, I just had my kidney go bad. You don't know nothing. Both my kidneys went bad. You don't know nothing. I'm thinking, that's not encouraging. You know, all of a sudden I quit praying for me. I'm sitting here having a heart attack. I'm not going to pray for me because you had 2 heart attacks. Okay, pray for her, Lord. Okay, again, you just got to be careful how you talk to people. And it's something that you just don't do overnight. You have to learn, but you have to learn it and keep practicing it and practicing it and practicing it. And even though you practice it, sometimes the emotions get in the way. And sometimes I got to admit, sometimes my emotions really get strong. I remember at Fountain, I was really doing good, and I was really, people come to me and said, tell us how to be calm like you. Tell us how to stay cool and under pressure. I mean, all people come to me, and can you come talk to us? And I was counseling people in boats and in offices. But then one day, Daniel called me and said that the supervisor just told him he was nothing, good for nothing. He would never amount to anything. And I said, that ain't going to happen. And I hung up the phone, and I got up. And I started to walk out of the office. One engineer says, where are you going? I said, such and such just said Daniel was a no good and he would never amount to anything. I said, I'm going to go tell him just what. I'm going to go show him. And the engineer said, David. I said, yes, that's what they call me in most places. I said, sit down. And I said, why should I sit down? I'm getting ready to go take care of somebody where he won't be able to sit down. And they said, that's the problem. That's not you. Said, I've been knowing you for years. I've never seen you this riled up, ever. And I've seen a lot worse things than somebody telling my son he was good for nothing, never mind anything. A lot worse things than that. And I said, you're right. I said, just calm down. Be you. Don't let your emotions get in the way. And I'm sitting there thinking, just last week they were asking me, And now, Miyagi say, student become teacher. And so I sat down, and I went, and I talked to Daniel. I said, Daniel, that guy could be having a bad day. That guy never talks like that. He's never talked like that either before, has he? He says, no, Dad, never. I said, well, then he's having a bad day, obviously. I said, so just consider that and just keep on going. You'll see it'll change. And the guy came back and apologized to him later. And I didn't have to get involved in it at all except for pray and tell Daniel to calm down. So again, we let our emotions get in the way. Okay? So now, demanding words. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. Proverbs 27. Wait a minute. Okay. Anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming, demanding words. And that, let me read this here. It's Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is an overwhelming flood. But who is able to stand before jealousy? And again, we're blasted by anger and swamped by rage. Who can survive jealousy? All right, that's the whole verse. Okay, ordering, threatening, arguing, cursing, accusing, probing, angry words. I was counseling somebody not long ago, and they said, somebody in my family, and they started telling me how they just eat them up and beat them up and bam, 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 what do I do? And I pulled out the Bible and said, pray for those and bless those that curse you. And they said, how do I do that? And so I wrote them a little prayer to pray every day. I said, Lord, bless. I put a blank. Lord, bless these people. Bless them with their needs. Bless their hearts that they can hear from you. And Lord, bless their hearts to where they can learn to forgive. I said, just do it every day. They said, but they've already said that they didn't want to be around me. I said, well, they've closed the door, but just look for cracks. And just bless them. Just keep blessing them. Don't stop. Just keep blessing them. I said, number one, they may not come back around, but God's watching you. God's not going to judge you on how they treat you. God's going to judge you on how you treated them. Wow. Think about that. God's not going to judge you on how they treated you. God's going to judge you on how you treated them, responded. All right? Examples. You better do this now. Now, if you're a parent, that's fine. If you're a parent, that's your kid, you're training them, you better do this now. That's the difference. That's different. Okay? I'm not talking about that because Bethany was getting all happy. Why were you so late? Where were you? You need to go back to teasing and coarse, critical, tactless words, Beth. That's up here and degrading. Okay. Yeah, okay. Where were you? I had a guy when I pastored at Benson. He was so funny. I'd come up and see him doing something. And he'd be wore out. And I'd say, you need some help? And he'd say, no. Just give me 5 minutes. I'll be through. I go, he was being sarcastic. Just give me 5 minutes. I'll handle this. And I go help him. Okay. Of course, one of the funniest things, and I remember I did a preached a funeral just a couple of weeks ago in Benson. And I saw one of the guys. We were working up in the roof, it was so hot in that church, and we couldn't afford a new heating system or air conditioner at the time. But what we discovered is that there was no insulation in the roof. So one of the guys was talking to one of his guys he was working with. He says, I know a company that blows it in. I'll talk to them and see what they would charge you. And they said, we won't charge you anything, but you just got to put some little pieces of sheetrock or something. 4x8 sheetrock up to hold it when we put it on top of it. All right. And so We had already put up ceiling fans. There were 6 ceiling fans in the church, which worked great. But then we're up here, and he's handing me the sheetrock. The guy couldn't climb up because he'd had a stroke, and he was still recovering. And so he's handing me up the sheetrock, and I'm up in the ceiling, and I'm walking the rafters putting the sheetrock down. And so I'm at the back. He hands me one, and when I go to step, and instead of stepping on the other rafter, I step right through the Celotex, and I fell, and I caught myself on the rafter. So I'm hanging. And so I finally get myself pulled back up. And I pull myself back up. I didn't know because I couldn't see down below too much, except for what I saw was that while the wind station had already been blown in, went down with that Celotex, and it was like a fog in that church because the ceiling fans were still going. And right where I was at was a big fog, and I had kicked as I was going down, I had kicked the ceiling fan. So instead of it going like this, it was going. So he comes out and is going, he looks, he's going, Brother David, and he's pushing things out of the way so he can see us stuff. He says, Brother David. And he goes up and he sees that thing and he sees the Celotex bopped. I mean, I took out some Celotex, I'm telling you. And so he goes and runs. I'm looking down and he's looking down in between the pews going, Brother David, where you at? Brother David. And yeah, he thought I had fallen down and busted up, and I was upstairs looking down at him, and I got a good laugh after that. We talked about that. It's been years ago, but we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was really funny. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Anybody got anything about so far about degrading or demanding words? You don't demand from people. I didn't even demand from my workers. I remember one time, this guy actually worked under me, but he weren't one of my people. He was actually the maintenance supervisor. It was his people. But because maintenance fell under me, I was still in charge. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I was. I didn't like it, but I was. And this one guy, we had... OSHA come out and said that we were supposed to have the fountain was built a little bit at a time, and y'all guys helped build it. Build a little bit here, and then build a building here, and build a building here, and they would just keep moving things around, and all the chemicals were kept up in the building when it should have been at least, I think it was 70 feet from the building. And so 70 feet, 100 feet from the building. And so OSHA came in, saw it, and said, when I come back, they better not be here. And I said, yes, sir. And so I went and told the COO, and he said, and I said, you got any ideas? He said, no, but you do. Go handle it. Okay, here we go. And so I was saying, Lord, we got a problem. They think I got an answer. I ain't got nothing. I said, but I know you got the answer. So talk to me, Lord. And it was so awesome. I'm riding down the road, and I see one of those 695 shelters, metal shelters. I said, oh, wow, that's awesome. Cement slat, and it's got to be up like, I don't know, 3 foot. I said, cement blocks. And then I said, but now we got this. Oh, it had to be explosive proof. I mean, explosive. If a coral fire exploded, there would be no. It would be gone, disintegrated. And so I'm going, okay, Lord, now what we do? And I'm walking through in the Walmart one night in the back, in the garden center, and they had this mesh over top. And I said, it was raining, but just a little bit of trickle was coming. And you could see the sun, I said, because it went up for the garden center. I said, there it is. I said, where'd you get that from? He said, Lowe's. So I go to Lowe's, and I get a piece of it, and I come back, and I go to the COO, because I never went with just the, I never went. With only one barrel loaded. I had both barrels loaded when I go to him. I said, here's a solution. We can put out a cement slat. We can come up with cinder blocks. We can put this thing out here. And then we can go to upholstery, and we can get in to put snaps on it. We can put this around. If there's an explosion, it's gone. If it catches on fire, it's melted. He said, let's do it. So now I got the fire marshal. Fire marshal said, don't you do a thing till you let me come inspect it. But OSHA was breathing down my throat. And so I called OSHA and said, "What you think?" They said, "We love it." So I had it done and then called the fire marshal. He was so mad at me. He said, "Didn't I tell you to call me boy?" I said, "Okay, boy." He said, "Didn't I tell you?" And I said, "Look, you told me I had 7 options." He said, "Yes." I said, "I named up all the options. I wrote it down." He said, "Yep." I said, "Option 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He says, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm doing 3 of them." He says, "Yes." I said, "Then what are you complaining about?" He went, "Okay." God, pray for God to give me wisdom when I talk to this very angry fire marshal. Okay. What I was going to say is, though, again, God is so awesome. He handled that. I didn't know what to do. But again, this guy was driving a fork truck in there. We had to put all the barrels a certain way so if the inspectors came out, they could see the barrel, see the date, blah, 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 blah. But this guy kept taking the fork truck and turning it the wrong way, and the counterweight kept knocking 3 or 4 centerblocks out. And they'd have to go ahead and put them back in. So I'd walk out to the guy, and I'd say, "Man, do you ever have a real fork truck license?" And he said, "Sure, David." I said, "Well, can you prove it?" And he said, "Hi." I said, "This is the second time we've had to rebuild this thing." He says, "I'm sorry." And so then he knocks it down a third time. And the COO comes to me and says, their famous words, he didn't say directly, he just said indirectly, "You may need to consider firing the next time." So I went to him. And I said, "Can I talk to you?" And I could have said, "We're going to fire you." Well, I didn't. I went to him, put my arm around him, and I said, "Dude, we got a problem. We can't keep building it over and over and over again." I said, "If OSHA comes out or Diener comes out while you've done this, we're in trouble because we've got to have it intact all the time, 24/7. And we can't keep it intact 24/7 if you've knocked it out 2 times in 1 week. I mean, the cement don't even dry before you knock it out again." He said, I know. And I said, "I just need you to know something." He said, "Well," I said, "this puts your job at risk. Whatever way, this puts your job at risk." And I said, "I'm not talking it." I said, "But I'm hearing it." I said, "So can you do me a favor, and you a favor, and try to learn to handle that thing better?" He said, "Oh, I got you, boss. I got you." I said, "Okay. Okay." And then a couple weeks later, he came to me after he knocked out again. He said, "I'm sorry, man. I'm going to have to leave you." And I thought, praise God. I said, "Why you got to leave me?" He said, "Because I got a better job." I said, "Well, does it involve lift trucks and cinder blocks?" He said, "No." And I saw that guy 5 years later at Ollie's at Christmas time. He ran to me and hugged me and said, "Some of the best times of my life was working with you." And I was thought about that day. There was one guy, he was a Hispanic guy. There was we had a very explosive material, and it's so explosive that the barrel was coated with rubber. And it had a fusible link, so in case of a fire, it would shut it automatically. It was acetone. It was acetone and MEK. And we had it in there, and it was really put on a cart and pulled through. And I'm out here in the chemical place where you get this stuff, and I hear this. And I said, "What is that noise?" And I turned around, and he was dragging it and already gone past the rubber and was making sparks. I looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "No English, man." And I said, "Stop." And I walked over to him and I pulled a little bit more. He goes, I said, "See that?" And he goes, "Uh-huh." And I pulled it one more time and it went. And I said, "Watch this." Boom. And I found out boom is the same in every language. Because you know, he picked it up and told it. He says, "Oh," and he said, "Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor." Again, you don't have to demand. You don't have to demand. And some of your kids, you may have to, but you don't have to demand. Okay, demeaning words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Moralizing, preaching, lecturing, judging, criticizing, disapproving, condemning words. I cannot stand somebody to preach to me, judge me, send me to hell, and don't even know me. Can't stand it. You ain't got to preach to me. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You want to have fun with me? Let's talk about something else. Unless you're having a problem, we'll talk about the word. And if you just want to have a good time worshiping, we'll worship. But other than that, let's talk about fishing. Let's talk about some other things. It's really nice. You know, some good stuff that you can talk about. Because you know what? If all you talk about all the time, 24/7, is certain things, your life becomes encapsulated in that one thing, and you miss out on everything else. So, I had a pastor one time that cut the grass in a three-piece suit. I kid you not. And there was three of us preachers that came out from under him. And one guy, he wasn't conforming no matter what. He was fine. Me, I was trying to conform like that preacher was, but now I said, this looks stupid. Mowing the grass in a three-piece suit. But this other guy got sucked into it, and we had a King's Dominion day. And we're at King's Dominion. Everybody's around in shorts and short sleeve shirts, and he's walking around in a three-piece suit. He couldn't even ride any rides. He was walking around in a three-piece suit. Again. And that was, honestly, that was demeaning to me. You know, he's walking around, "Holy, holy, holy, don't touch me or I'll break." Or, "How great I am, how great I am." You know what? One of the best compliments I ever get from people is, "Hey, you don't act like a pastor, a preacher." Now, you know, there's a difference, preacher and a pastor. You don't act like some of the preachers I've seen. You're not beating me up. You're not here trying to burn me down. You actually are a real person. I said, "Yeah, isn't that cool?" Preaching, lecturing, judging, criticizing, disapproving, condemning people. Look, and you can do it, though, without even realizing, because watch this. You never consider my feelings. You should do better than that. Here's the one Satan loves. If you really were a Christian then, how many's heard that? I've heard, if you really were a preacher, or he's supposed to be some kind of preacher. Well, I didn't call me that. God did. Okay? I wouldn't want to grow a beard like that, but I like Duck Dynasty because those guys are all Christians. But you know what? They are hilarious. but they're all Christians, and they have a wonderful time. Yeah. Okay? Destructive words. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. Wow. That's powerful. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. And let's look over here. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge and superior discernment shall the righteous be delivered. Now, here, a loose tongue of the godless spreads destruction. The common sense of a godly preserves them. There's people I see, and they'll come up to me, and they act like they're trying to get information for prayer requests. No, they're not. I'm not talking about here. There's two ladies in my mother-in-law's neighborhood that live across the street. I call them Mouth of the South 1 and Mouth of the South 2. They know about the whole situation of everybody in that neighborhood. And they come to me constantly wanting to know things. And so Linda and I have devised a little plan. I want you to watch this plan. They're always watching out the window and watching what we're doing. The other day, Linda took her mama to the doctor, and so they said, I happened to see one of them at the store, and it goes, is everything okay? I said, sure, why? They said, well, the wife was taking her mama to the doctor. I said, for a regular checkup. I said, is everything okay? I said, sure. And I just kept trying to walk off. So Lynn and I devised a plan. So we figured we're going to break them. So here's what we did. The next night, we got the front door with a tape measure. We measure the tape measure this way. We measure it this way. We go down and we measure it. And then we go to my car and up at the back of the car and we measure it. And then we go to the back of Linda's car and we measure it. And we said, this one here. And so every time now at night, I walk out. And last night, we practiced carrying a body over our shoulder. And so we've been at, look. So we've practiced carrying it this way. We practiced carrying it this way. And so we can't wait because the next couple of days, we're going to take a body pillow and stick it, roll it up into something. And just by the time it gets dark, we're going to drag it out. We're going to put it over his shoulder. And Linda said, well, if they called the law, I said, we're going to get arrested for putting a body pillow in the back of a car. It's a body pillow. But that was just humor. You know, it's the way, and all this craziness going on over there, it's just very humorous. That's what happened the other day. The lady come out like she was going to do something, get the mail or something. And so here I go. So I can't wait for them to figure out why we're measuring the door and why we're measuring the back of our cars. And then before that body pillow out, it's going to be hilarious. Go ahead. Good. I like to hear one. A joke. That's funny. There was a bunch of kids. There was like 9 of them in the family. And every time one of them got married, the other ones played practical jokes on them. And so this guy, when he goes to the kneeling bench, he's wearing a black tux and he reaches where his hands go and he goes, oh, there's nothing there. But they put the powder where his knees go. So when he gets up, he's got his white knees, right? One before that, they actually put on the back of his shoes because the kneeling bench, they were facing the preacher when they kneeled. And one shoe said, pray, and the other one said, for me. The other shoe, pray for me. Well, these people on their honeymoon, when they went on their honeymoon, they went, this is mean. They tore off all the, they went to the house and tore off all the labels off of the cans. Dude, that was mean. But the funny one was they took plastic wrap, and they covered every toilet. So you can't get a little crazy with the practical jokes. Yeah, but there's some guys in my church in Benson, they were crazy. I mean, they do things like go out and pull your spark plug wires off. Or turn it back, then you can turn the radios up. Now you can't, but then you can turn it up real loud. Okay, here we go. Destructive words. Gossiping, repeating rumors, or confidences. Now, why does repeating a confidence? I was told in counseling, right to start with, my very first counseling class, the kiss of death is to repeat what somebody told you in confidence. kiss of death. You're going to ruin the relationship, your counseling relationship with them. You're probably going to ruin your relationship with them. They won't trust you. So again, there's people come to me and say, well, what they say? And I go, you have to ask them. What's really bad, though, is they tell me, don't tell anybody. But I go, okay. And I get to church, and I hear it three times on the way up to the pulpit. And I find out they done told other people, don't tell anybody. And everybody knows it, okay? But here you go. Spreading rumors or repeating rumors, same thing. Discrediting, belittling, blaming others, slandering words. I find out a lot of times people do that. Usually the people do that the worst. The people do that the worst are the people that have a low self-esteem. Low self-esteem will cause you to try to belittle somebody else because you're trying to feel big. And so I have discovered that I don't have to. I don't have to. I know. I'm waiting. I'm sitting here waiting. That's right. That's awesome. Okay. Anybody else? I'm waiting. That was good, Vicky. That was excellent. You see, that's what, remember I talked about it Sunday? That's what Satan wants to do, is to get us to have spiritual inferiority complexes. Go for it. Cool. That's good. Y'all gonna feel inferior to Vicky and not let y'all talk? Anybody gonna say anything? Vicky, that's very much wisdom. No, Vicky would. I'm gonna tell you. No, look. Vicky would not want you to feel inferior to her for anything. I can tell you that. I mean it that way, Vicky, because Vicky's awesome. I didn't mean it that way, Vicky, and y'all were awesome too. But I'm trying not to be teasing. I told you not to be teasing, but teasing's okay for this. If you're not trying to hurt somebody. Also, I've discovered if somebody keeps talking to you about somebody all the time, be careful because they may be talking to them about it. That's good. You gotta be careful. I've seen guys that wanted you to do certain things to hurt somebody else. And if you're not careful, they have somebody else do the same thing to you to hurt you. And so that's why I like to play. I want to play fair, play above board. You know, so at least, I know that if I play fair, you may think I'm a sissy, a wimp, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, whatever. But I remember somebody just recently said that I worked with him at Fountain. And they told me, said, you know, I learned so much, not just from me. There were several of us. There was a group of us that I learned so much from all y'all guys and said, but you know what? There was one thing y'all were trying to teach me that I didn't listen to. And I handled the situation in a way I thought was the correct way, which was actually dirty, a dirty way to get to where they wanted. I consider it dirty. And they said, you know what? Looking back over it, I should have done it y'all's way because it haunts me doing that I did it the other way. Said, but I'll never do it again. No. You got, there's some heavy stuff out there, but a lot of times, and you don't have to feel spiritually inferiority or inferiority all the time. You can just be feeling it for the moment. There's times where you just feel it for the moment. When you feel it for the moment, you respond because you're feeling it for that moment. You respond to what you're feeling for that moment, and then you do something you wish you hadn't done because later on you go, why did I do that? Have you ever done that? Why did I do that? It's because for that moment, you were feeling inferior. As for that moment, you attacked versus you reacted versus being proactive. You reacted, and when you reacted, it was actually like a counterattack when you should have just. The Lord showed me something this week. I'm going to do a sermon on it soon. Psalm 46 and 10, which says, be still and know that I'm God. The Lord spoke to me. I was telling somebody, Psalm 46 and 10, be still, let go, release your hold, and know that I'm God. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, get out of the way and watch me move. And so I looked at Psalm 46 and 10 and started chasing it down really hard in the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, one translation. I didn't see it in other translations, but it's in the Hebrew language. One of the translations in the Hebrew language is, be still know that I'm God, is get out of the way and watch me move. And so all week, I've been telling that, get out of the way and watch me move. I've been telling myself that, get out of the way and watch me move. The people I've been ministering to in certain situations, I say, get out of the way and watch him move. So, that's powerful. Very powerful. Because, look, if you're repeating rumors or conferences, you're discrediting, belittling, blaming others, slandering, gossiping, you know what? You are committing murder. And he said, thou shalt not murder. That's murder. Yes, ma'am. Let it rip. Well, you hang in there. You're gonna come out of this thing smelling like a rose. You watch. Because I know what kind of lotion they put on you in surgery. you're gonna come out of this thing smelling like a rose. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good stuff. Yeah, that's what I was when I went to Church of God. And that whole situation was so wild because I was used to the choir coming out of the room with robes on, and they said, "All right, choir, let's get ready to sing." And they came from the pews and they come up, and I went, "Wow!" And I heard it. I said, "This is honestly," I looked over at Barry and I said, "This is a kind of shabby looking group." But I never heard anybody sing like that. It was powerful. And then when the preacher said, "Brother Anderson, will you stand and lead us in prayer?" And everybody stood and started praying. I looked over at Linda or Beverly and said, "I wonder how many Brother Andersons in this place." But you know what? I went back and back and back. Yeah, that's right. All right, deceitful words. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. Right? Let's see here. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness breaks down the spirit. So, lying, false statements, exaggerating, bragging, boasting, flattering, insincere, untruthful words. I've heard this before. I never really get angry at anyone. Really? All right, if you never really get angry at anyone, let me pop you. And about time you start getting this feeling back in your face, I'll pop the other side. With that baloney. My goal is to benefit others in any way I can. Well, I believe that. There is people that do that. I didn't mean it that way. I'm just saying that sometimes they're trying to get out for themselves and they're trying to make you think that, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Like there's some charities and stuff that you're thinking all your money's going to the charity and being used and only a little bit of it's being used, the rest of it's going to the Yeah, and I can't stand that. Can't stand it. You know, you're gonna sit there and just like I think one of y'all told me, I might have even told us in here that there was people out collecting money for a church, and they were about ready to donate, and they said, "Where's your church at?" And they said, "Durham," and they were I think in Pamlico County at Walmart. Was it you? Right. They weren't advertising either. So that was being deceitful. You know, that's being deceitful. It's kind of like, you know, it's like you see the guy out there asking for money, and then you watch him go in and see him buy a six-pack and a carton of cigarettes. Or you see him go get in a nice car and drive off. You know. That gives everybody else a bad name. People that really need it, it gives them a bad name. Yes. Yeah. Well, because Beverly was a teacher, I knew firsthand. She would just tell me, we got kids who need a coat, kids who need shoes, kid here that have whatever, and it would mysteriously show up for them. You know what I'm saying? But see, I don't mind giving, and I don't mind reaching out to help the needy, because that's what we do. But again, I don't want to step over three people in need, take care of somebody 200 miles away. It's kind of like people that would break their neck to give money to go overseas to a missionary, but won't step across the street and invite their friend to church. That's sad. I honestly think God's going to look at that and go, you know what? I'm proud that you sent money to Africa, but I'm, you know, that kind of trumped it when you didn't step across the street and invite your friends, you know, to church. So, let's see. Did we go through all of them? There we go. We did. Lying, false statements, exaggerating, bragging, boasting. I sit there sometimes and my boys, bless their hearts. I've seen the time when they were doing their thing. They were trying to outdo one another. And then wanted me to say, yeah, you're right. Isn't that right, Daddy? Isn't that right? And I go, well, that's kind of right. That's kind of right, boys. Don't get me caught up in this mess. Y'all starting to get carried away now. Y'all done gone from exaggerating to flat out lying. I ain't in it. Yeah, because I know the Lord's looking at me too. Are you leading these boys, or are you being led? Are you leading them away from the hill, or are they leading you over the cliff? Any more questions? Answers? Well, we're going to have a few more weeks of communication. I don't know. Maybe we'll do this next week. I don't know. But some interesting concepts, and I was telling Eddie about it today, is listening. We might do that next week. It might be a good one with communication. Matter of fact, I know it is a good one. I want you to think about something. There's a difference in hearing and listening. Just think about it. There's your assignment. I'll just do that next week. There's a difference in hearing and listening. One requires no effort. The other requires much effort. Powerful. Powerful. Okay, all hearts and minds clear? I think we'll start at 8 o'clock next week, so we'll be out of here by 8:15. Honestly, I didn't realize what time it was. I really didn't. Brother, dismiss us in prayer, please. Ain't but one brother in here, so I can't. Oh, there's two brothers there. I'm sorry. No, excuse me. I said brother. I forgot he was over there. Yeah. I was looking over here, but that's why I don't have the church. I asked one of the guys, I said, how about dismiss us in prayer? He has ribbed me about that about 10, 15 years ago. It's like, I was in church. God saved me. Delivered me from good. I was doing good. And then my pastor goes, can you dismiss us in prayer? And he goes, never mind, there's a man of God. And he said, well, who am I? That's right.